Welcome to The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you here. It's good to have the mayor of Seattle here. Jenny Durkin's in the studio with me. Welcome, Mayor.
Hey, Bill. It's great to be back.
You and I both had mellow 4th of Julys. We didn't try to do too much.
And it was on a Wednesday. It was hard to do too much.
Middle of the week. Can we talk money to begin with, Mayor?
Let's talk money.
We always end up talking money, as should be. I saw Seattle Business Magazine broke down the city's budget, as you do for a living, and they put it this way. They had four conclusions. Number one, this is the last year Seattle can continue its pattern of slight deficit spending because the fund balance is exhausted. Number two, economic growth is slowing, which will hold down revenue growth as expenses climb. Number three, Seattle's economy and the city budget have become dependent on the cyclical construction industry, and when that time bomb goes off, it will be painful. And number four, the city council needs to discover the virtues of fiscal discipline in time for the budget development process. Is that accurate to you?
We have been planning for reducing our budget since I walked in the door.
Yes.
I've asked every one of my department heads to give me a budget that was lower, and we're even paring that back because if we look at the projections going forward, we know we have to live within our means. We know there will be things that come up we didn't plan for, and there's programs that end up costing more than you thought they would because you start to expand them because they work. So we have to be looking out at a 3- and 5-year scenario, knowing that we always go through cycles in Seattle, knowing that we've got to be able to live within our means. So, yes, it's going to be the year of fiscal discipline.
What is the biggest budget cut coming?
I wouldn't say the biggest budget cut, but I would say you will see across all departments reductions. And sometimes those reductions are going to be in holistic terms, meaning the budget itself has to be less. Sometimes it'll be program by program. So I think what we really have to do is start with what do we have to do to keep this city running? Basic city services, police, fire, fill the potholes. So we know what we have to do. Then we go, what do we need to do next? And so we build the budget instead of trying to just cut. We build it from a basis to say, what do we want to be doing and have to be doing?
Do you know of one budget cut that is on the way that you'll tell us about now?
I think you'll see budget cuts across all departments. There are some that because they're smaller or because that they're just beginning as programs like our Office of Labor Standards, they won't be able to take as much of a cut because they have programs that they're required to actually build.
Yeah.
But you'll see cuts in probably every department. We're going to do everything we can first to protect basic city services and public safety.
Budget cuts tend to fall on the poor. Why not raise property, sales, business and occupation, utility, taxes, business license fees?
You know, we are going to do everything we can to protect those social service programs because we as a city know that we've had this huge disparity between what some people make and what others do, and poverty has grown. So we want to make sure we protect those social programs. But the tax revenues we have today, if you talk to anyone in parts of the city, people are starting to feel that they are not tapped out, but they need to know what they're getting for their money. And I hear that everywhere I go. If they know that it's something that's worthy and that it's going to show up as something good in Seattle, they're willing to pay for it. But they want us to prove that they're using their money wisely.
Well, we often in the media and people who and businesses who pay taxes often focus on what government isn't getting right or is spending too much money on. But what's a case you want to make for, hey, this is something Seattle's doing that actually helps people that you don't realize how effective and cost efficient this is? Let's pick one.
One I'd pick is our Seattle Families and Education Levy. You know, we since early 90s have had that supplement for our schools, and it has put the Seattle Public Schools in a better place and every kid. We're going to be renewing that levy and renewing the preschool levy. So both of them expire this year. We're going to be combining them.
Both on the November ballot?
Both on the November ballot as one levy.
So yes.
To continue that levy, it's the kind of investment that I hear everyone in Seattle is willing to make in our kids and their future. So we'll increase almost double the number of preschool slots. We're going to have new programs to close the opportunity gap and increase health care in the schools. And we're going to make sure every Seattle Public School kid gets 2 years free college.
The owner of a median home would pay an extra $112 per year, I've seen it, for this levy. City Councilor Shama Sawant called it a tax on regular working people as opposed to the business head tax that the city passed and then repealed. How do you respond to that?
Well, the property taxes that it comes from, we have to remember that businesses pay those property taxes. And in fact, a significant portion of property taxes are paid by businesses in Seattle. If you take single family homeowners and businesses, they pay the lion's share of property taxes in Seattle. So they're already paying for that. And again, it is probably one of the things we can do to increase the opportunity most for people in this city. We have over 700,000 jobs coming to the Puget Sound Basin in the next 5 to 7 years. Most of them require some post-high school training certificate or degree, and only 30% of our kids are getting it. So if we want our kids to get those jobs of the future so that they can support themselves, have good family wage jobs, this is an investment that for City of Seattle will pay off 10 times and more.
Well, as it relates to the head tax, Councilor Lorena Gonzalez said one reason she voted to repeal the head tax is she thought voters would see a repeal on their November ballot and they would turn out to vote for that and vote against the education levy. Do you see scrapping the head tax as a worthwhile trade-off to help save the education levy?
I think Seattle voters are pretty smart. So I think even if the head tax was going to be on the ballot, while it would have been difficult to do it, everywhere you go, people understand the value of education. And they see in this city that if you don't want to be spending the dollars 5, 10, 15, 20 years to support people through social programs, the best thing you can do is give them opportunity. And that's education, early learning, K through 12, and college. And if we do that, we will be, it's one of the best things we can do for the city.
Well, one final question, I think, about the head tax. Again, there's no longer this tax that was going to raise $47 million a year, and that was going to pay for services for homeless people and for affordable housing. And a listener has a question along those lines.
My name is Birgit Ages. My question is, what are you going to do about the homeless crisis and the high cost of living in Seattle? Rent should be commensurate with income, and income is way out of whack. The rents are way out of whack, especially if you're not working at Amazon and Microsoft.
What do you say to that listener?
We absolutely have to do better to raise wages to begin with. So that is a really important part of that question, because we are seeing today that huge disparity. That's when, again, going back to the families and education levy, the more people we get that certificate and degree and get family income wages, the more apprenticeship programs we have with labor, we'll be able to raise those wages. The second thing we have to do is we have to have regional solutions to homelessness that have to involve the state, the county, and the city. Today, we have a very fragmented approach, and I've been talking to mayors around the region as well as the county executive, working through one table, the governor. We have to do something, for example, about behavioral health. We all know that mental health and opioid issues on the streets are a huge part of the problem, but the city of Seattle doesn't have the dollars. Those dollars go through the city and the county. We've got to have a holistic solution so that we address homelessness for what it is and provide people with not just housing, but the supports they need to get back on their feet.
This is Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, and this KUOW listener sees homelessness and kind of ranks it alongside other issues.
Hello, my name is Alex, and I was just wondering how Seattle can justify the ban on reusable plastics in the city while they continue to let people have full-on encampments pretty much anywhere they please, allowing those people just to use drugs wherever they want to downtown. I just don't understand how the resources are, or why the resources are being put into such silly things as that when there's such a crisis going on downtown with the homelessness and drug problem. Thank you.
What do you say, Mayor?
I don't think we have to play off good things against each other. I think we can do things that are good for the environment and try to address people experiencing homelessness.
Can we afford to do both? We started out talking about money.
We can't afford not to. We have to be able to help people move off the streets, out of RVs, and into safe places to live. It's one reason why we are increasing in the next 60 to 90 days, almost 25% the number of shelter spots available so people have a safe place to go. Right now, our navigation team goes out, they connect with people living in tents and RVs and doorways, but they don't have places to move them. We need to have places to move them. And if we do that, then we can start to see a change in the city, fewer tents, less garbage. And then we need to get treatment for the people who are experiencing addiction problems. The city can't do that alone. That's a county and state function. I've been talking to city and county leaders, county and state leaders about that. We have to do something more on that front.
Okay, so that listener didn't like the plastics, the plastic utensil, non-reusable straw ban. I'm talking with Mayor Jenny Durkin. Here's another listener who sees a Seattle institution as being silly or worse.
Hi, Bill. This is Janet Leonard, Seattle resident. I really appreciate your show, The Record. I have a question for the mayor, and that is I appreciate her climate initiative. And in that vein, I think the Blue Angels have outlived their currency, let's say. I would appreciate it if she could address the question of who says okay that the Blue Angels visit Seattle every year and why. My concerns are, number one, the carbon footprint they contribute to, number two, the traffic problems they increase here, number three, the cost to the citizens for the Parks Department, for the security, et cetera, and number four, the noise pollution. So it seems like it's an event that's outlived its time. Thank you.
Her first question, Mayor, was, who says it's okay? Is that you?
You know, we work together with Seafair and plan these events years in the future. And I've heard a lot of criticisms about the Blue Angel. In fact, in the 80s and 90s here, we had so many immigrants and refugees in South Seattle who had experienced in war zones that it was troublesome. I will admit a great fondness myself to the Blue Angels. I think that they are a master in flight, in engineering, and humankind. I can see how other people don't like them. The carbon footprint is an issue, but I still, I hate to admit it, but I come down on the side of the Blue Angels.
Carbon, traffic, security money, noise, all worth it.
I think that if you take the Seafair as a whole, it's a really positive thing for this community. And you look at all of those events together, they all cause different parts of traffic. There's parts of the city get congested, and each one of them contribute. But if you take it as a whole, I think it really is not only historically kind of what Seattle's been about, but it brings people together in a whole lot of ways, which I think is fantastic.
Mayor Durkin, speaking of traffic congestion, is the city going to charge people to drive downtown?
We are looking at that. It is years away to be able to implement it. You'd need the technology. We have to do lots of outreach. We have to make sure that it's equitable so people that are poor aren't shouldering the burden of it. But I think there's a number of things we can do to improve traffic in the downtown core. The first thing we've got to do, the most important thing we have to do, is get people out of single occupancy vehicles. So we've got to get people onto transit, into carpools, and sometimes not coming into town at all. So that's got to be the first focus.
For Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, we have a listener call about another kind of transportation besides the car.
Dave Storm, Seattle. Just briefly, I'm a newcomer, and I'm just hopeful that the First Avenue trolley car is approved, that Pioneer Square becomes a gem rather than a sort of crime-ridden spot during the evening. I believe they would all work together, that having the streetcar would improve the pedestrian aspect of the area, and I feel that it's way below its potential.
This is the unbuilt First Avenue streetcar line between Pioneer Square and Westlake. It's over budget. You stopped the project in March and ordered an outside review. The deadline for that review is June. Mayor, where's the review?
So there's two problems with the streetcar project that we posit. First is we didn't know how much it was going to cost to build it. The estimates were millions and millions of dollars apart. Second, we didn't know how much it was going to cost to operate it. They, too, were million-dollar spreads. So we believe that the public has a right to know before they embark on such a big project, how much will it cost to build, how much will it cost to operate. We had a preliminary review. KPMG came and briefed. There were some questions they still hadn't answered that they need to go back and look at. For example, one of the things that we know is the new streetcars, as designed, are longer than the current ones we have and heavier. They won't fit in the maintenance barns, for example, and we're not sure they can fit on the gauge of rail that's there. So we need, before we start a project like that, to know how much is it going to cost to build, how much is it going to cost to operate, and how many people will it really move? Because the goal of transit has got to be to move as many people through Seattle as we can. You know, I also want to go back to when we're talking about the time of maximum constraint, making the city friendlier for bicycles and pedestrians is going to be critical too. That's another key way we get people out of their cars.
So are you saying it could be that Seattle will not build the line to connect the two existing streetcar lines?
That
still might not happen?
That still might not happen. We're looking at the options. And there may be other options that are available to connect those two things that won't be a continuous route. We're in the process now of looking at both the technical data, the ridership estimates, and also what will it do for, there's a lot of businesses up and down First Avenue because we did utilities work that was necessary. Some of those pipes were wooden. But tearing up those streets takes a heavy toll on those businesses as well. So we're looking at all those factors. I will say Pioneer Square has come a long ways. I worked in Pioneer Square in the 70s and worked in a factory down there filling boxes and cutting threads off coats. And it was a much grittier place then than it is now. Activating that park has made a huge difference. Having Weyerhaeuser come to Pioneer Square has been a terrific thing. So I think once we get this construction done with some of the businesses that are there and the community that's growing, Pioneer Square is really a great place to be.
Mayor, that's our time.
I hate that. We ran out of time.
What's harder, balancing budgets or cutting threads off coats?
I would say cutting threads off budgets.
Yeah, that's what it's coming to. Seattle's Mayor Jenny Durkin, that's the 15 minutes we get with you, and it flew by. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Seattle's Mayor Jenny Durkin on the record on KUOW. You're going to meet a new U.S. citizen in just a moment. Stay tuned.